بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، I think a lot of the brothers are under the assumption that it's going to start after 8 o'clock, because last week Asr was 8 o'clock. So inshallah, for the first 10 minutes, I'll just recap on what I spoke about last week. Last week we spoke about how Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first man to embrace Islam. The first child to embrace Islam was Ali radiallahu anhu. And there is an ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, who was the first? Was it out of the males? Was it Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, or was it Ali radiallahu anhu? And there's a difference of opinion regarding who the first male was. But they are united on the fact that the first child was Ali radiallahu anhu, and the first man was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They also spoke about the fact that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first da'i in the history of Islam, the first man to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the day he embraced Islam, he went out and he began to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was one of the 10 who was guaranteed Jannah, but out of the other 9 who were guaranteed Jannah, 5 of them embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Out of the other 9, 5 embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And really, we need to think that on the day of judgment, our friends, are they friends who will take us toward Jannah, or will they drag us to the fire of Jahannam? Because can you imagine on the day of judgment, all those people who embraced Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, how grateful they will be to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who took them out from eternal doom into eternal success. And we really need to judge that on the day of judgment, how will we perceive our friends? Did our friends take us toward Jannah, or did they take us toward Jahannam? Because really on that day there will be many people who will curse their lot. They will curse themselves and they will curse their friends. Because instead of them friends taking them to the masjid, they took them to the nightclubs. They took them whining and dining. They took them womanizing. They took them to abuse drugs and to drug deal. And on that day, man will curse himself and he will curse his friends that he had friends who dragged him to the fire of Jahannam. And can you imagine people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what kind of friends, how grateful they will be to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu on the day of judgment. So the first man to embrace Islam was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The first khatib in the history of Islam was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The first da'i, the man to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The narration mentioned that he was the first khatib in the history of Islam. In the early parts of Islam, what would happen is that the Muslim, they would conceal their iman, and if they would give da'wah, it would be secretly. And Abu Bakr came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, O Messenger of Allah, give me permission to proclaim the deen openly. And the Prophet ﷺ was concerned for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said no. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu insisted, and he came and again to the Prophet ﷺ, until finally the Prophet ﷺ said, okay Abu Bakr, go and call people openly towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and call people openly to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to the Kaaba. And you must understand that the Kaaba in those days was the hub of shirk. It was the center of shirk in the Arab Peninsula. There were, around the Kaaba, there were 360 idols. 360 idols. And all the mushrikeen of the Arab Peninsula, this was their center. This was their center of shirk. This is where they would come to do Hajj. And how Allah really blinded many of these people. He blinded them to the truth. They would worship idols like Isaf and Naila. Isaf and Naila were two people who were from Yemen. And Isaf proposed to Naila, and Naila's father refused to accept the proposal. When they came for Hajj, they met inside the Kaaba. And when night fell, Nisaf and Naila had a relationship inside the Kaaba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may turn them into rocks to show that those who violate the sanctity of the Kaaba, this will happen to them. And what the mushrikeen had, this was before shirk had come into the Arab Peninsula. And what the people had done is that they had placed one on the Safa and the other on the Marwa to show that anybody who violates the sanctity of the Kaaba, this will happen to him. And then when Amr ibn al-Luhay, he was the first man to bring shirk into the Arab Peninsula after Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam brought Tawheed. What he did, he took Isaf and Naila from the Safa and Marwa and he placed them outside the Kaaba. He placed them outside the Kaaba. And the people, although they knew the history of Isaf and Naila, but they would worship Isaf and Naila. And there were 360 idols in and around the Kaaba. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he came and he stood up and he began to call the people toward Tawheed in the hub of shirk, in the hub of kufr. And he began to call them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the narrations mentioned that the mushrikeen, they set upon him from all four angles. And they began to beat him until he became unconscious. And they carried on beating him. And Utbah ibn Rabi'ah, he took the head of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he took off his shoe. And he was beating him upon his face until the narrations mentioned that they had beaten him so bad that you could no longer recognize him. He was beaten past recognition. And then when his tribe, Bani Taym, they found out, they picked him up and they took him home. And they had taken an oath that if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passes away, then we will take revenge. We will take revenge from Utbah bin Rabi'ah. See, because in those days, they had the tribal system. That you assist your tribal member. You assist those tribes which have allegiance with you, even if they're wrong. And this was a saying of the times of Jahiliyyah. They would say, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman." Assist your brother even if he's right or wrong. If he's from your tribe, assist him even if he's right or wrong. And upon occasion, the Prophet ﷺ was speaking to the Sahaba and he said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluman." Assist your brother if he is right or wrong. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum knew that this contravened the essence of Islam. How can you help a zalim? So they said, "O Messenger of Allah, we can understand helping an oppressed person, but how do we help the oppressor?" And the Prophet ﷺ said that you stop him from his oppression. That you stop him from his oppression. This is how you assist a zalim. And really, how often do you see today, you know, people that they will side with their bradri, they will side with their boys, even if they are on batil, even if they are wrong. It's our blood. And the essence of Islam was "Unsur akhaka zalim aw madluman." If he's a zalim, stop him from his zulum. And if he's oppressed, then help him in any way that you can. This is the essence of Islam. How often you see this in the, you know, amongst our youngsters, that because it's blood, they side with their blood. So Bani Taym had taken an oath that if Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passes away, they will kill. They will kill Utbah bin Rabi'ah. And they were waiting around the bedside of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they were sure that he was going to die. And after a long period of time, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came around, and the first thing which came out the lips of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, "Ma fa'ala Rasulullah?" He said, "How is the Messenger of Allah?" And the Bani Taym were disgusted. They said, "This was the man behind which you were beaten. You were beaten because of him, and the only person that you can ask is about him." And although they were relieved that Allah had cured him, but they were disgusted by the fact that the first thing which emanated from his mouth was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this was the love that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then they all left, and his mother bought him some food, and she said, "Oh, my son, eat the food." And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "I swear by Allah, I will not taste this food until I know how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is." And she said, "I don't know your companion. How am I going to find out?" And he said, "Go to Umm Jameel." Umm Jameel was the sister of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And his mother went to Umm Jameel. And Umm Jameel said, when she asked her, she said, "How is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" And because these people were concealing their iman, she said, "Look, I know no Abu Bakr and I know no Muhammad. I have no news of any of them. But if you wish, I will go and see your son Abu Bakr." And she went with Umm al-Khayr to see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when she saw Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, she began to cry uncontrollably, because the narrations mention that he was beaten so severely that you couldn't distinguish between his mouth or his nose. His mouth or his nose. And then the only thing Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said is, "Ma fa'ala Rasulullah?" He said, "How is the messenger of Allah?" And Ummi Jameel looked at his mother and he said, "Speak in front of what?" And then she said, "The messenger of Allah is fine and he's in the house of Ibn al-Arqam." And then the mother bought some food and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "I swear by Allah, I will not taste this food until I see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." This was a man who was beaten past recognition, close to death, but he said, "I will not eat this food." And then they carried him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "This is my belief, although I'll come over no narration, this is my belief. Have you ever heard the term coolness of my eyes?" This was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the Sahaba radhiyallahu ajma'in. When he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all his pain, all his anguish, everything was extinguished, because this was the love that they had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, "Marid al-habib fa'udtuhu famaridtu min huzni alayhi fashufi al-habib fa'adani fashufi'tu min nadri ilayhi." He said, "My Habib, he became ill and I went to visit my beloved, and when I saw my Habib who was ill, seeing him in an ill state, I also became ill. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him shifa and he came to visit me. And when I saw my Habib that he was fine today, Allah made me fine as well." And this was the likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that all their pain and all their anguish went away. And this is what the love that the Sahaba had for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Really, upon occasion, Suban radiallahu anhu was ill, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam requested that he be brought to the Masjid Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they went to call Suban, and they said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, Suban is ill, he can't walk." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to visit Suban radiallahu anhu. And the Prophet ﷺ asked, "Oh, Thoban, what is wrong with you?" And he said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I swear by Allah, there is nothing wrong with me besides the fact that I was thinking that when I die, I may be in Jahannam and you will be in Jannah and I will never see you again." He's not concerned about going to Jannah. He's concerned about the fact that the Prophet ﷺ will be in Jannah and he will be in Jahannam. And then he said, "If Allah does grant me in Jannah, then what will happen? That you will be in a higher Jannah and I will be in the lower Jannah and I will still not be able to see you." His love for the Prophet ﷺ had such an impact upon him that he could no longer walk. He could no longer walk. This was true love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how these people love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That just the thought of not being able to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say that, "I want to be in Jannah in a place where I can see Abu Bakr. I want to be in a place in Jannah where I can see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." Upon another occasion, a sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, when is the final hour? When is the day of judgment gonna come?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began his salah. And after his salah, he asked, "Who was that person who asked about the final hour?" And the sahabi said, "It was me, O Messenger of Allah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma adatta laha?" He said, "What have you prepared for it? What have you prepared for the final hour?" And the sahabi said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, I don't have much fast. I don't have much salah." And this doesn't mean that he didn't pray his fard salah. He means that he didn't pray profusely like the other sahaba did, like Uthman and Tamim Dari radiallahu anhum, that they would pray all the night. He would pray his fard salah, but not like them. And he's saying, "I don't have much salah. I don't have much fast. But one thing I do know is that I love Allah and his Rasul." He said, "I love Allah and his Rasul." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al mar'u ma'a man ahab." He said, "In the hereafter, man will be with that person that he loves." And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu mentions, he said that after Islam, there was nothing which was more pleasing to the Sahaba than knowing that in Jannah they would be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That in Jannah that they will be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we really need to analyze, you know, who are our role models? If we were to die tomorrow, who would we love? Who would we be resurrected with? Is it the Bollywood or the Hollywood? Do you spend more time watching Big Brother? Or do you spend more time in the masjid? Who are your role models? who are the drug dealers and the gangsters your role model, who are the real men of this ummah, like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, are they your role models? Because a man will be with that person that he loves in the hereafter. He will be with that person that he loves and nobody other than that person in the hereafter. And therefore we need to make sure that our role models are those who are beloved to Allah. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, really it was as though that he had been cured. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first man to embrace Islam. He was the first man to call towards Islam. He was the first khatib in the history of Islam. The first man to give a khutbah in the history of Islam. And really, this is the meaning of the word Abu Bakr. Because the word Bakr in the Arabic language means to take the initiative. To take the initiative. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a man who always took the initiative towards khair. He always was the first man towards khair. And this is why Ali radiallahu anhu defined him as as-sabbaq. The man who would always excel others. Always be the first to do good things. And upon occasion, Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, define Abu Bakr to us. And he said, kana khairun kullah. He said, everything about him was khair. Every single thing about him was good. There was nothing bad about him. He was known as Sabbaq. And if you want to know how he was known as Sabbaq, the one who would excel and exceed on the battle of Tabuk. And this was a very difficult battle for the believers. And the Muslim needed much wealth. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, every time Abu Bakr excels me, today I am going to excel him. And what he did, he distributed his wealth into two. And he bought half of all his wealth to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, he said, Umar, what have you left at home? And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I've left half of my wealth, nothing else. And then later on, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Abu Bakr, what have you left at home? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I've left the name of Allah and his Rasul at home and I've bought everything else. And the narration mentioned that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he rubbed his hands over the walls to ensure that he doesn't even leave a needle on behind. And Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu said, on that day I knew that I would never be able to compete with Abu Bakr. I would never be able to compete with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And this is why he was a man who was khair. How did Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu define him? He said, kana khairun kullah. Every single thing about him was khair. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are 360 characteristics of khair. 360. And when Allah wants to enter a man into Jannah, he gives him one of these 360 characteristics of khair. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting there and he said, O Messenger of Allah, do I have any one of those 360 characteristics? Do I have any one of those 360 characteristics? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, you have every single one of those 360 characteristics. If Allah wants to give a man Jannah, out of those 360 characteristics of khair, he gives him one and he enters into Jannah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had 360 characteristics of khair. And if you really want to know the khair of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, then ask the likes of Bilal radiallahu anhu. Really, if you want to know the khair, Bilal radiallahu anhu was a man that they would make him lie in the sweltering heat of the Arab Peninsula. They would make him lie on the sand and then they would place a huge rock upon his chest. And they would say, now denounce your religion. Now denounce your religion. And Bilal radiallahu anhu would say, Ahad, Ahad. The one Allah, one Allah. And Imam Halabi rahmatullah alayhi mentions that Bilal would dilute his pain through the sweetness of Tawheed, through the sweetness of Ahad. And then what they would do is that they would drag him through the streets of Makkah until his skin would peel away from his body and you could see his flesh. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would see him being punished this way. And upon occasion, what he did is that he came to Umayyah bin Khalf, who was the master of Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he said, Umayyah, sell me Bilal. And Umayyah said, yeah, I'll sell you Bilal, you can buy him, because you're the one who corrupted him, so you can buy him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, how much do you want for Bilal? And he said, 5 ounces of gold. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went home and he bought back 5 ounces of gold. And when he gave Umayyah the money, Umayyah began to laugh. He said, oh Abu Bakr, if you had haggled with me and offered me 1 ounce of gold, I would have taken 1 ounce of gold. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, oh Umayyah, I swear by Allah, if you had haggled with me and you had asked me for 100 ounces of gold for Bilal, I would have given you 100 ounces of gold for Bilal. And this is why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu would say, Abu Bakr Sayyiduna wa a'taqa Sayyiduna. He said, Abu Bakr was our master and he freed our master. And do you know what kind of relationship Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had with Bilal radiallahu anhu? He freed him, he bought him and he freed him. But he would call Bilal, he would say, Sayyiduna Bilal. He would say, Bilal is my master. He bought him and he freed him, but he would say, this is my master. You know, Bilal radiallahu anhu was a man, really, if you want to see, he was the mu'azzin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And on the day of Fath, when they conquered Makkah, all the mushrikeen were sitting there and all the Muslims were sitting there, and the son-in-laws of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Uthman and Ali, were sitting there. The 10 who were guaranteed Jannah were sitting there. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu were sitting there. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? On that day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, oh Bilal, stand up. Stand up and go and stand on the roof of the Kaaba. The roof of the Kaaba was the most holiest place in the eyes of the Muslims and the mushriks. And he said, oh Bilal, stand up on the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ could have asked anybody else, but he asked Bilal. He said, Bilal, stand up on the Kaaba and give the adhan. Give the adhan, because the Prophet ﷺ wanted to show a token of the society that he had come to create, that Bilal had come out of the servitude of man to the servitude of the Lord of man. And now the Prophet ﷺ is placing him in the most holiest of places. The most holiest of places in this dunya and in the hereafter. What was his status? The Prophet ﷺ said that I went into Jannah wa thamitu khashkhashatan imami fa idha huwa Bilal. He said, I went into Jannah and I heard footsteps in front of me, in front of me in Jannah, and those footsteps were the footsteps of Bilal. Those were the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu anhu. If you want to know about the khair of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, ask the people like Lubayna radiallahu anha. She was the slave girl of Umar ibn Khattab. And Umar radiallahu anhu, before Islam, would beat her so much. Umar was a mountain of a man. And he would beat her so much that he would become tired. And he would say, let me get my breath back and I'll beat you again. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he bought Lubayna and he freed her. If you want to know the khair of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, ask Zanira radiallahu anha. She was a woman that was beaten so much that she became blind. She was tortured so much that she came blind. And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu bought her and he freed her. And the mushrikeen began to say, the reason that she's become blind is because she insulted Lat and Uzza, and Lat and Uzza made her blind. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam supplicated and Allah restored her eyesight. And this is why, if you want to see the khair and many other people Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu freed. Many other people. And upon occasion, his father, Abu Quhafa, came to him and he said, oh my son, if you want to free people, why don't you free strong men? Men who will assist you. You've already been beaten past recognition. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, man of ikhlas, and he said, oh my father, my reward is not in this dunya, for my reward is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so beloved was this ikhlas of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that Allah mentions in the Quran that وَيَسَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَتْقَى الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَذَكَّى, that that person will be removed from the fire who is righteous. الَّذِي يُؤْتِي مَالَهُ يَتَذَكَّى, and he gives his wealth so he can be purified. He gives his wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so he can be purified. You know, before Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was one of the richest businessmen in Makkah. He had 40,000 dirhams. 40,000 dirhams, and he spent everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every penny he spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there is no man whose wealth has assisted me as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr. No man's wealth as much as the wealth of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu mentions that upon occasion I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam descended, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, what's wrong with Abu Bakr? He's wearing a tatty, worn out jubbah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O Jibra'il, this is Abu Bakr, and he spent everything that he had upon me before Fath. Before the conquest of Makkah, everything he had, he spent upon me." And then Jibra'il alayhi salam said, "O Messenger of Allah, Allah sends you his salams, and he sends his salams to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." And he says, "Oh, he is pleased with Abu Bakr." Allah is saying that Allah is pleased with Abu Bakr. Ask Abu Bakr, is he pleased with his Lord, or is he upset with his Lord in his current situation? What honor, wallah, what honor that Allah is Samad, Allah is independent. If the entirety of humanity embraced Islam and followed the laws and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the T, it would not increase the status of Allah an iota. And if the entirety of humanity disobeyed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would still remain Allahu Akbar. But he's asking Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's saying, "Oh Bakr, ask Abu Bakr, is he pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned towards Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Oh Abu Bakr, Allah asks, he gives you his salams, and he says that Allah is pleased with you, and he's asking, are you pleased with Allah in your current situation, or are you upset?" And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu began to cry, and he said, "Is it possible for me to be upset with my Lord? Is it possible for me to be upset with my Lord? Indeed, I am pleased with my Lord. Indeed, I am pleased with my Lord." And this is why Allah says in the Quran, and these verses will reveal it regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that that person who gives his wealth so he can be purified, and there is nobody else that he wants a reward by, but he does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَىٰ. And a time will come that he will be pleased. You know what pleasure Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will attain in the hereafter? Abu Bakr will attain a Ridwanul Akbar. Do you know what a Ridwanul Akbar is? Let me tell you what Ridwanul Akbar is. Upon occasion, the Bani Abdul Qais came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they began to insult the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was listening silently. And then after they had finished, he turned towards Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Abu Bakr, have you heard what they have said?" And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "O Messenger of Allah, I've heard what they have said and I've understood." And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Then Abu Bakr, you reply on my behalf." Do you know when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be insulted, who would reply on the behalf of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? Shall I tell you who will reply on the behalf of Bakr radiallahu anhu? Upon occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bakr radiallahu anhu, was sitting by the Kaaba, and a man came and he began to insult Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was listening to him patiently. And whilst he was being insulted, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was smiling. And the insults became worse and worse and worse until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu could no longer restrain himself. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied to him. As soon as he replied, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and he left the gathering. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leave, he stood up and he followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, "O Messenger of Allah, why did you leave the gathering?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Because Abu Bakr, as long as you remained quiet, the angels replied on your behalf. And when you replied, then Shaitan came into the gathering, and it does not befit a prophet to remain in the gathering with Shaitan." You know who would reply when Abu Bakr would be slandered? Let me tell you who would reply when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be slandered. Upon occasion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to a famous Jew called Finhas, and he told Finhas, he said, "Look, you know the final messenger is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why are you concealing the truth? You have it in your books. Why are you concealing the truth?" And Finhas said, "Do you want us to follow a religion where God is poor? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, what do you mean God is poor? He said, doesn't the Quran say, man dhal ladhi yuqridhu Allah qardhan hasanan? Who will give Allah a loan, a good loan? Doesn't Allah say this in the Quran? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, one thing they do say about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he had a bit of a temper. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu grabbed him and he began to slap him up. And Finhas said, don't you know, Abu Bakr, my tribe and your tribe have a treaty. He said, that's the only reason that I'm not doing more to you. That your tribe and my tribe have a treaty. Otherwise, things could be a lot worse. And Finhas came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said that Abu Bakr beat me up for no reason. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam summoned Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to the gathering, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did you hit Finhas? He said, yes. He said, why did you hit him? And he said, because he said that God is poor. And Finhas began to say, wallahi, I didn't. I swear by Allah, I said nothing of the sort. He's making it up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Abu Bakr, do you have any witnesses? And Abu Bakr said, no. And you look at the justice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a Jew on one hand, and this is the beloved of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one hand. But see, the Quran takes precedence over everything, and this is why the Sahaba and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acted upon the earth. لا يجرمنكم شنعان قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. Said that your dislike for a nation should not make you be unjust, but be just because this is closer to taqwa. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you have no witnesses and you are admitting to the fact that you hit him, then Finhas will take revenge. And when Finhas was moving forward, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu only had one witness, and that was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah from the heaven sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam to exonerate Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu until the day of judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, لَقَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءٌ. That Allah has heard the words of those who said that Allah is poor and they are rich. That Allah revealed verses from the seventh heaven to exonerate Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The reality is that whenever the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be slandered, Allah would intervene. Because this was the barakah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Upon occasion, the munafiqeen in Medina, they slandered Aisha radiallahu anha. And they said that she had an adulterous affair. They said that the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had an adulterous affair. And you know who intervened on that occasion? When Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was accused by Zulaykha, she said that he made advance upon me. On that occasion, as Allah records in the Quran, a young child said that if Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's garment is torn from the front, then know that he made the advance. And if it is torn from the back, then know that he was running away and she was chasing him and she tore his garment. And they looked at the garment and it was torn from the back. When Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam was accused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who was a suckling child at that time, the ability to talk. And he exonerated his mother. But when it came to the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allah did not use any child. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervened himself, and he revealed 10 verses in Surah An-Nur to exonerate Aisha radiallahu anha. 10 verses. This was the status of the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whenever the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would be accused, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself would intervene. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Abu Bakr, you reply on my behalf. You reply on my behalf. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied on the behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very eloquent manner, in a very beautiful manner. And the Prophet ﷺ told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, today, Abu Bakr, you have attained a Ridwanul Akbar.
the highest pleasure. And there were a group of people sitting there, and they said, "O Messenger of Allah, what is Ridwanul Akbar?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ridwanul Akbar is that on the day of judgment, يَتَجَلَّ اللَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَامَّةِ وَيَتَجَلَّ لِأَبِي بَكْرِ خَاصَّةِ." He said, on the day of judgment, on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unveil himself, upon one occasion he will unveil himself for all the believers. Every single believer, he will come out and he will unveil himself. And then upon the second occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unveil himself. And upon the second time when Allah will come out, it will be solely for the sake of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Solely for the sake of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the believers enter into Jannah, Allah will ask them, "Is there anything else that you desire?" And the believers will say, "No, Allah, you have made our limbs glow. You have granted us Jannah. You have saved us from the fire of Jahannam. What else could we want? What else could we desire for?" And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unveil himself. He will come out and the believers will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that that will be more beloved to the believers than even Jannah itself, seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And can you imagine on the day of judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unveil himself once for all the believers. Then on the second time, he will unveil himself solely for the sake of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Solely for the sake of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu.